This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by R.J. Long. He is the author of the fantasy novel Legends of Gilla, the Triple Trilogy Omnibus.
How are you doing today, Ronald?
Oh, doing well. Summer and three kids off makes for a very busy day. However,
I bet.
Doing pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Is it what? It's like afternoon there in Texas?
Yeah. Here in Texas, it's just now 1 o'clock.
Okay. Cool. So I always like to start these interviews out with a fun question or two, Ronald. Are you a dwarf person or an elf person?
That's a hard one. Okay, so if you read my books, you would think that I was an elf person because I have far more elf characters than I do dwarf characters. And I am, like, as far as all that goes, I am definitely more of a dwarf person, even though my books show otherwise.
Awesome. All right. So, Ron, how long have you wanted to be an author?
I wanted to be an author really ever since I was a little kid. And so it's been a lot of fun to be an author, to write books and things like that. It's been a great deal of fun.
Awesome. So let's talk about one of your books, the Legends of Nilla Giant Omnibus, which I believe you titled it a triple trilogy omnibus. Let's talk about that.
I did title it that way. Yeah. Stubborn is as stubborn does. I definitely, when I sat down to write my very first book, I decided I wanted to write a giant world. And in order to do that, I needed 5 continents. And in order to do those 5 continents justice, I needed to write 3 trilogies for each continent.
Ah.
And so that's where I started my writing journey, is kind of writing the first book, thinking in my head, I'm going to write 15 of these. Whether or not that's a bright idea, other people can judge, I'm sure. But this is the first, this omnibus is the first 3 continents of the world. So our character is exploring the first 3 continents and seeing what's going on there.
Okay. That's an interesting way to do it. So it's all the same characters?
It is all the same characters. And that's why when I first, if you've read Dragonlance, which is kind of the novels that I started reading when I was a little kid and got into fantasy, not so much The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings or anything like that, but I really started with Dragonlance and Forgotten Realms. All of those books had trilogies and kind of the same characters around those trilogies. And so that was what was in my head when I started writing. And again, for better or for worse, that's what this first story has been.
Okay. That's very interesting. So let's talk about some of the characters.
Sure. There are really 3 main characters who you get to follow around through most of the stories. Other characters come and go throughout the continent. But the 3 main characters that we're seeing are Eelrin, a guy who washes up on the shore with amnesia and doesn't know who he is. Hol, the man who kind of rescues him and takes him under his wing. And then Bloom, the magic user who they meet shortly after. And you follow these 3 characters as they get themselves into more and more trouble and deeper mysteries and magic adventures.
Okay, okay. That sounds kind of interesting. So let's set the stage. How does their first adventure get started? Like what's our inciting incident?
Sure. What we find out with Eelrin is that on the continent he's washing up on, Rune, there's actually a man who's decided that every other race other than humans deserves to die. And so he's been given a vision, Androlian, Felgate, and he is the one who's deciding that he's going to rid the continent and eventually the world of elves, dwarves, goblins, halflings, anything not man, because this is his vision that he's been gifted.
Okay.
And so we come into the story of Hol, who knows some of these characters and knows some of the actors who are in here, trying to prevent it. And then Elrond figuring out if this is a quest he wants to be involved with, or if he would rather spend his time figuring out who he is.
Okay, okay. So that's kind of an interesting place. And is this sort of the plot line through the entire series, or do like they each kind of deal with different adventures just with the same characters?
Sure. Different. Let's say that each trilogy, each continent, has its own story arc. So
okay.
Rune, the story arc is really my take on the fantasy world's problem of racism. Iridan, the next one, is my fantasy take on the environmentalism, what happens when we use all of our resources and we've left the world barren. Then the third one is what's more important, magic or technology, or being able to live without technology, and then moving forward with that.
Okay.
So that's each trilogy has its own arc, but as you read throughout the story, you find out that there's a bigger picture at hand.
Awesome. So is this as far as you got in the first three trilogies, or is there just more after this collection?
There's more after. I've written up to book 14, and I hope to release the last and final version or final story in the series at the end of July with Citadels of Galen. Very
awesome. That must be quite an accomplishment. I mean, when did you start writing this?
I began writing in 2012 is when I first sat down and started writing. Made lots of mistakes figuring out how to self-publish, how to write, things like that. And then came up with a rebranding, renaming, kind of understanding how better to publish, how better to serve my readers. That happened about 3 years ago. And so it's been a long journey as far as author worlds go. But yeah, I guess all told, I've been writing this series for about 8 years now.
Okay. So let's talk about the rebranding. Like, what all went into that?
Well, when you first start out writing, again, in 2012, I was just trying to do complete NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writers Month for you. Write 50,000 words in a month. That's what my first book was. And then after I finished that challenge, I decided I really liked it and I wanted to keep going. So I reached out to somebody and said, hey, I like these images that you painted on DeviantArt. Can I use them as my book covers? They said, yes. I thought I knew what I was doing, designed some covers. They really weren't great. wrote some more books, had somebody paint me some fantasy settings, and then repaint the first three books, and then went, you know what? All of these covers are actually really bad. They don't they don't really hit my audience of a fantasy audience. They kind of look more middle grade. And so took them all down, had a covers by Christian, redo my entire series. Fantastic artist, fantastic.
Yeah, I know Christian. He did my short story collection.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Awesome. No, loved working with Christian. And went ahead and got all 15 covers done by him. And then did the thing where I was able to rapid release the books because I'd already written books 1 through 6 and was almost done with books 7 through 9, which are the books now that you get to read in the omnibus. And that worked really well. And so right now I'm just sprinting to the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. We met, 3 years ago?
We did.
At the 20 Books to 50K conference. And yeah, I was...
We got to share lunch together. It was fantastic.
We did. It was great. Yeah. But I noticed, I saw how many reviews you had, and I was like, damn, I wish I had that many reviews on my books. So I'm glad. So did the conference work out for you?
The conference was great. I definitely learned a lot. In fact, I even bought that copywriting book. Copyright as in this is my material, but
Brian, description. Brian Mears guy? I read him. He even has looked at some of my blurbs for me.
Yeah. Bought that recently. So even 3 years ago, I'm still learning things from that one conference. I'd love to go this year, but I just don't think it's in the books.
Yeah, they sell out so fast.
Like, I know.
Even try. It's been just a crazy year. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Do you recommend people attending 20 Books 50K for newbie authors and stuff if they can?
100%. For nothing else, the content is always fantastic, and there's a lot that you can learn. But then being able to network with other authors who are in the same game as you are, and being able to find other authors about on your same playing field, because you and I can reach out to Craig Martell, and he'll be like, okay, I'll give you some time, but, you know, he's Craig Martell. He's got stuff to do.
Yeah, that's very true.
But he's, being able to find other authors on your kind of playing field and be like, no, let's do this together, you and I. That's where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm really terrible about, networking. I'm too much of an introvert. And plus, my sleep schedule is really weird. So, like, I was used to going to bed super early. And I used to wake up really early in the morning because of my roommate's work schedule. So, like, I wanted to, like, wake up before he got around and the house, because at the time I kind of had to work in the living room at our own place. Yeah, well, now I don't. Now I have my own office, so now I don't care. So nice. Now I don't wake up at like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah, that's brutal.
Well, it's only brutal if you go to bed at a normal time, but if you go to bed at, like, you know, 7 o'clock, it's fine. It just meant my sleep schedule was really off, and then the conference was just tiring, and all that smoke in that place was killing me. And so I'd get to the end of the conference day, and, like, instead of wanting to network, I just wanted to go pass out in my hotel room. And right. I had no energy. So
I understand that I can empathize with you, but at the same time, I'm an extrovert. So give me the people. Like, I'm that weird author who loves the people. So I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I definitely get that. You were.
Yeah, I know. I'm the social butterfly, and I get it.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who loves to go and hang out later and talk to other authors and learn what they're doing.
But
and,
I mean, yeah. I did have, like, on Sunday, I did have, like, a really great lunch with, like, 20 authors when we were all just sitting around at the Applebee's there with a couple that I knew from up here. And yeah, that was fun. So it's great, like, connecting with them and just. That conference sold out. Like, the next year I couldn't even get in. Like, I was 45 minutes after they posted it, and it was, like, already on the waiting list. I was like, oh man.
When you have a raving group of how many people are in that Facebook group? Is it some 20,000? Some odd, like, wildness?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was at the first conference, and it was small. And then the next time, the second year, which is where I met you, it was huge. So it was.
Well, We need to arrange our own conference, James. That's what we need to do. You and I, Fantasy Writer Conference. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, that would be nice, because there's plenty of, like, there's so many genres out there that it'd be nice if there was a conference for more specific. Yeah. I'm sure there are, probably, but, like, at least this one I didn't feel like they were trying to sell me something.
That is what's great about 20 books. They're definitely going to say, hey, we don't promote a lot of stuff. But if we do promote something, we're all in for it, and it's probably going to be useful to you. Like, I did ads for Facebook authors, 100% useful content. Like, didn't feel like I was gamed in anything. It was very helpful.
Awesome. Anyway, so you got you're almost done with this series, right? So
sure.
What is next for you?
Well, I'm the king of new projects, and so I always enjoy some type of new project, even while trying to finish up a current one. And it's not ADHD, because I don't have, you know, that issue, but it is sometimes I need something new and exciting to help me finish what I'm working on. So I may have already outlined another 15 book series in the world of Gilia that happens 2000 years before this one does. Maybe. And so,
do you find it easy to outline 15 books at once, or is it like is that something that's easy for you, or?
Well, the term outline may be generous. All right.
All right, that's fair.
I have a paragraph per book, right? And, you know, I already have characters, which is usually just going on Google, finding an image of, like, oh yeah, this person, this is my character, and then typing up two or three sentences about them. And then a paragraph for their book, you know. And so that's my outline. I'm a pseudo I'm a pseudo pantser, right? I know how the story's going to end, but there's some things that when I'm writing, I'm thinking, oh, that would be really cool if this happened now, because I want to entertain myself when I'm writing, right? I want to have a good time. And so if my writing's boring me, then I know it's going to bore a reader. So I, you know, sometimes we'll have to jump around and do some things, but I know the general story of each book, the general way a character acts and how they interact with other characters. And so that's my outline. Not so much a, they do this, they say this, go here, exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've done that with like 5-book series where it's like, this is what's going to happen in this book, this is what's going to happen in that book, this is what, and then invariably by the time I'm at book 3, I'm off my outline.
Right.
And because it just doesn't, like, it didn't pan out. Because I'm a lot of a pantser. Like, even though I do heavy outlines now, not for an entire series, or even an entire book, but I do heavy outlines. Yeah, well, I just, because the story just didn't develop that way. Because I do heavy outlines for, like, about 5 or 6 chapters at a time. And then I write them, and then I do heavy outlines again. And I stick pretty much to my heavy outlines, because I'll even write dialogue and stuff in the heavy outlines.
Will you really?
Yeah, well, because I'm kind of like, this is like the, it makes the writing go faster. So like, if I spend like an hour doing heavy outlines for 6 chapters, I will get them written like 4 hours. And that's like,
okay.
You know, that'll be like, 12,000 words or something like that.
Yeah, in 4 hours. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll get about 3,000 words an hour.
Yeah. Around
2,900 or 3,200 somewhere, usually in between there. If I have, like, a script to follow and I don't have to sit there and, like, figure out what's going to happen next, I already know what's going to happen next. And I already have, like, a flow of the conversation, the emotional beats and all that. So it's really more just me adding in the descriptive text and the prose and the emotion and, you know, the tension and the, you know, or whatever emotional mood I'm going for, right, to kind of get that built up. And there will be some little deviations, like maybe like in my outline, it was kind of like, especially like battles, like maybe I didn't really think the geometry of the battle so much. And I get in the middle of it and go like, oh no, this doesn't quite work. And I have to tweak stuff. But generally though, they flow pretty well. Then I write it out. Then I can think about where it happens next. So usually I write to like the action. And then I can think about the reaction chapters, right? Okay. After I've written the action and how my characters will process that. And I'll discover, you know, emotional stuff. Like I had some pretty emotional stuff that I didn't have in my actual book outline, which is really just like bullet points of this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, right?
Right.
And so like I had one event that was really big that I didn't even have in it, because like I got to the moment and I go and I'm outlining, go, oh no, wait, this character is going to have a really huge reaction to this information. Like this is super personal. This is going to cause like some issues that I didn't anticipate.
I love hearing the way that you're describing your writing, A, because it's fascinating, and B, just because it's so wildly different than the way I write. But at the end of the day, you and I both come up with a book, right?
Yeah.
And it's so really cool how like different authors do it different ways, come up with stories that readers find engaging. Man, that's just really fascinating. That's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. It's something I learned. Like I didn't start this way out. Like my first book, Above the Storm, I had like a bullet point outline, which eventually became the first 2 books, because I had no idea how much story would be in it, because it was my first book I ever wrote.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
I pantsed that book, basically. And I had to, like, add scenes. I had to rewrite parts of it. I had to juggle things around, which is not a problem I tend to have with my new stuff. Like, if I write, like, a rough draft, that rough draft is generally complete. Like, there's nothing missing. I have things to fix. Maybe tonal stuff, or you know maybe this makes my character look not quite the light I want them in, so just tweak like dialogue and minor stuff, but like it's very rare that I'm missing anything.
Hear you. Yeah.
But that's what happens when you've written like 20 novels versus your first one.
Yeah, eventually you go, no wait, I can tweak my method here from just straight pantsing to I can do this better.
Well, what happened was I was doing Epic Fantasy, and I broke my party apart in book three, and suddenly I went from having everyone basically together, even in, if they weren't, they were still kind of like the bad guys might not be with the group, but they were, their actions are still involving the group, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, but then book three, I split everyone apart, and for the rest of the series, I never had everyone together until the very finale of the entire series.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
And so what I found was I couldn't pants that. Well, I had to juggle like timelines and characters meeting up. You know, characters weren't just splitting up. They were splitting from their groups that they split apart and going and joining up new groups with characters from the other groups. Right. So like I had characters like in the third book, I had characters shuffling around everywhere.
Have you ever just forgotten a character and been like,
yeah.
Oh no, I haven't written anything about this person.
Yeah, it was a tertiary character, so it wasn't anyone important. But yeah. Also, I'm pretty I just realized I got like halfway through writing the final book and I'm like, wait, have I forgotten about this character? Because he was with them at the end of book four.
And he's gone.
I feel like I just forgot all about him. And so I had to go and like just add stuff in. But so my current series, there's like a pet that one of my characters has, and it's like a mascot for the series, but it doesn't really do anything important. But there'll be times when I forget that she has the pet for like chapters at a time, and I'm like, oh wait, right, I forgot all about, I think I forgot about her, like her pet for like half of book five. So I just have to put a note in when I go to revise book five, like, hey, just remember to add in references to what like her pet's doing.
Like, you don't forget that this person has a pet and make sure that you mention it. That's funny.
Yeah. Like, I do notes like that. That's the revision problem. So it's like, this series is like, I'm on book six and I got like, I'm up to like six main characters in the party now. Plus like two sort of quasi pet characters. Well, one's more than a pet, but the other one is actually just a pet. And so it's a lot of, and they all have different abilities and powers and they're different races, and so it's starting to get to the point where like I have to be very careful, or I have to remember like, oh wait, what is this person doing in the scene, even though they're not doing anything in the scene, I still have to like, what are they actually doing though, because they're not just going to like stand there and just do nothing. So
right, because then why are they there, right?
Yeah, you know,
so
it's just like you got to just like try to remember that. And I need to figure out where the newest one kind of fits into the group. I want him in the party because he provides, he's a knowledge font and he's a different race. So he has a different kind of perspective on stuff. And, he does have some magical power. He's kind of like where this character named Zai was back in book two, where she wasn't like someone that can contribute well. Things she was right. she was like a city girl that doesn't really know anything. She has a really, her power is very useful, and she has a good role in the party. It's just like she's kind of like developing into someone that doesn't have to be protected any longer. And so now I have a new character that's kind of back in that role, and I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to figure out exactly how he's going to get more proactive, I think.
Right, and go from.
Yeah, he's still kind of in shock because they just, like, his life just got upturned by the party in the last book, and he's had to flee from his home because of being in fault, because they hired him to translate something. And so he's kind of, like, processing it. And the start of book six isn't over much time. It's, like, we're on, like, the second day, and I'm, like, halfway through the novel.
Oh,
so
wow.
So there hasn't been a lot of time yet. Well, it's just... You know, the book ended on a cliffhanger, and they're all running, and they're in this place, and it'll compress out. The second half of the book, I think, will probably span over a couple weeks, weirdly. But it's just right now, we're kind of like, that's just kind of sometimes how this series works. Like, there's like times when like there's just intense, like they're running, they're traveling, they're in danger, they're moving through hostile territory, and so it can eat up a lot of the book of this like very small time period. But then there are other times when they're just like in the free and clear, and they can cover lots of ground without anything of important happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's just kind of how
that's where I struggle is making that traveling interesting. Right.
Because I try to use that time to develop like characters. relationship stuff. And at the same time, I also try to not do too much of it. So I'll gloss over, like, if there's nothing, you know, important, you know, I don't want to repeat, like, and then on this day, they did the same thing as the day before. And,
yeah, because that reader can check out pretty quick if you go that direction.
Yeah, and I also try to look for places to, like, heighten tension, you know. I always, like, try to rack that tension up is kind of what I try to do in my writing.
Yeah, there's some chapters where you want adrenaline to just be flowing, and I don't know if you write this way, but every now and then I'm like, I get to a chapter and go, okay, my readers need just a quiet break. Like they need, I've been pumping them up for like the past 10 chapters. They need like a deep breath moment.
It's called,
now I can get back into it.
Yeah. So you have so scenes are either action or reaction, right?
Yeah.
So, and you, depending on the genre, but like you tend to want to have like maybe like 2/3 action, 1/3 reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on like it is, but you want to have it. That's very important. It's breathing room. It's also good for you because like that's when like the best, I think, character stuff can happen a lot of the times is in the decompression of what happened and the reflection and the thinking and the talking and the, you know, figuring out what to do next. I don't know. I like writing those type of scenes. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're working on another book in the same universe. Is there anything else you got in the works that's outside of your fantasy world, or are you just all in on this next 15 book series?
Well, I do have a smaller series, and again, like I told you, I'm the new project guy. I had to, over quarantine, I could not write in my current series for one reason or another, and so I needed a smaller project where I could feel like I was writing. And so I wrote a short series called Realm of Lords. And each book was only about 40,000 words. So compared to my epic fantasy stuff, extremely short. But I wanted to be able to just have a different little project so that I could say that I was continuing to write and just get creative juicing flowing and maybe not have so much pressure on myself, right? Like, you know, when you're several books into a series, you're thinking, okay, I really need to deliver on this character. I really need to make sure this plot point happens. This suspense that I've been holding needs to really come out well. And I was carrying a lot of that, like as an author. So I needed a moment to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to write because I love it. And so I wrote a very short series called Realm of Lords. And I'm also dabbling now in another similar series. It's not in the same world. It's not with the same characters. It's not even, you know, Marvel Universe where it's a, I say, actually, it's in the same galaxy as this other, you know, I'm not trying to pull that on my readers. For me, it was just a passion project. So I'm working on something else right now where I'm trying to make that happen.
Okay.
And for me as an author, giving myself that little break, I think it really helps. So more than likely, it's going to be finish 15 book series, write small, short, new series, and then really dive into same world, different characters.
All right. Well, if you want to let our listeners know where they can connect with you on the internet.
I tried to make things as easy as possible. So I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as RG Long Author. And that's also my website, rglongauthor.com. And you can buy my books on the Amazons.
All right. Well, it was really great talking with you, Ronald.
James, it was good catching up again, man.
Yeah, it was. You have yourself a good one.
Oh, you too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter, at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.